Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs podcast. If you like a podcast that is raw, unfiltered, and authentic, you have come to the right place. Our goal is to bring clarity around canine fitness and conditioning. We help people ignite their dog's performance and build better dogs. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss fitness, nutrition, and mindset for dogs. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Rose, and today we have Hugh Thomas from the Sunshine Coast, Queensland, Australia. How are you going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Certainly a pleasure to have you here. So I know that you and I have been talking for a little while on and off, you know, and it's certainly great to get you on the show and talk in particular canine nose works, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
A few episodes ago, I was obviously speaking with Fred, and he dropped my name a little bit, and obviously we've known each other for a little while, so come highly recommended as well.
That's nice to hear.
All righty. So look, let's jump straight into it. So today's show, as I mentioned, is going to be centered around pillar number three in regards to the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast mindset, and in particular, how we incorporate scent work, and in particular, once again, canine nose works. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So for the listeners out there, give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a dog trainer for just over 10 years now. I started out in assistance dogs, so that was my first official dog training role. Mm-hmm. That's probably where my first taste of scent came from. We would train dogs to track children that decided to run off, and we were also teaching seizure alert dogs as well. So yeah, that's where it kind of first started, and my kind of love for it kind of grew from there. I was breeding Labradors for working roles at the time, so a few of our dogs went to detection roles, mm-hmm. which mean I again got to experience a little bit of that world. So it was pretty much just doing stuff at home to start with. My first real experience with canine nose work was when I did my CNWI course. And honestly, day one, I was hooked. There's no going back after that. And I've been doing that for just over almost 5 years now. Yeah. I've been doing canine nose work, teaching mm-hmm. classes and doing trials and things like that. Yeah.
Awesome. What's your current dog?
I have two Labradors at the moment, Scout and Booty. They're both, black Labradors.
Yeah, awesome. Can you tell us, obviously going back 5 years in Australia in particular, canine nose work was mostly, I won't say completely unheard of, but would you agree, just sort of, not too many people had heard of it. So can you tell us a little bit about the origins and, how it's been evolving over the last 5 years in particular in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. So the founders, of course, are Jill Marie O'Brien, Amy Hero, Ron Gaunt. They, started it way back in 2006. And it was literally just to go, let's incorporate this detection style training with our pet dogs. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate enough to have the lovely Marion Brand bring the sport to Australia. So that was around 2012. Our first official trial was 2015. And it's kind of just grown from there. So I think it's just, people start to see this really cool thing that people are doing with their dogs and they want to get involved. So it's kind of just taken off after that.
You and I spoke a little bit about previously, people don't realise that, I suppose the huge benefits, but also, for rescue dogs, for dogs that have got some, antisocial behaviour tendencies, if you like, the sport itself, as obviously we'll talk about shortly, is very open to a number of dogs, etc. But it's such a wonderful sport that people can participate in. Can you tell us a little about the organisations here in Australia that are doing, obviously, potential competitions and affiliations?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's currently two organisations offering trial opportunities. Mm-hmm. So the one that I'm involved in is the ACSW. That was the first organisation offering that trial experience. Mm-hmm. And now, which is awesome, that ANKC is also offering trial experience as well. So slightly different methodologies wherever you train. As 50 million ways to train a dog. But it's really good because both organisations are inclusive. It doesn't matter where you train, you can trial anywhere. Of course, there's going to be slight differences in rules and things, but the main thing is just everyone gets to go and have fun with the dog and, do some trialing.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a crossover in regards to odour recognition. you know, I suppose with those two different organisations, there's a crossover, the owners, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So with Canine Nose Work, it is Birch, Anise and Clove, and then same is used for ANKC, and they just have an added extra one, which is Cypress.
Yeah. I think obviously if you decide that you wanted to trial, you just need to be a member of either organisation. Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And you can be a member of both and do both. It's not, you don't have to choose one or the other.
Yeah, don't have to be exclusive, which is awesome. I know that you run classes and private lessons and, you know, in scent work, et cetera. What types of dogs are you seeing coming through? And does everyone want a trial, or is it just people just wanting to have a great time with their dog?
It's really cool, but you see everything, like mm-hmm. anything from a Chihuahua to, you know, a Rottie or a Mal, mm-hmm. and your Labradors, of course, you see lots of those. but yeah, it's cute little fluffies coming through and the full-on working dogs as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not one particular breed or anything. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it started, everyone just wanted to have fun with their dogs. It's 100% where it started. Yep. And then when we kind of introduced the first like ORT and trial into Queensland, well, this is what I saw personally, then everyone kind of just got a taste for it and wanted to go further. And then I think as, you know, new people join classes and kind of see what's happening, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't even know I could do that with my dog. So yep. I think it's definitely a lot of pet people getting into it. And then once they kind of see how far they can go, they're kind of just jumping in and giving it a go, which is really cool.
Yeah. And it's really awesome to see. And, you know, even with my classes, we're seeing a variety of different dogs from, border collies, breeds, Rotties. I've apparently even got a deaf border collie in my class as well. So it's great to see. And that was sort of leading to my next question, or what I wanted to talk about was, do you have to have a crazy high ball drive, you know, Malinois or Shepherd, for instance, participating in the sport?
Absolutely not. It's toy motivated. But again, I've had dogs that come into class and they won't eat food for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like being in that type of environment is a lot for them. Mm-hmm. And just coming out and spending, you know, an hour with these strange people watching them and stuff can be a bit much. So no, definitely not. As you mentioned, it's great for all types of dogs. So we see those shy, nervous, maybe reactive dogs come out, and week by week their confidence grows, and then they're just as crazy for the sport as the high drive dogs by, you know, the end of it, which is great.
And they can certainly go on to trial and you know, take it as far as you wish. Yeah,
100%, definitely.
Yeah, and even, you know, when I look at my two, for instance, right, and I've got one that is, you know, like say Craig, you know, he sees a ball or he just loses his mind, you know, and then I've got one that's super, you know, super methodical, not so drivey, but just super, you know, he's got drive, but he's nowhere near the drive that, you know, the other one has. Some people would say he's just slow-mo, right? But he's just super methodical about things and hits it every single time, right? Whereas, you know, the other one just goes, you know, and he's all over the place, you know, and I'm like, dude, just slow down.
I've got one of each as well.
You know, and you know, the training has been very similar, however, just totally different dogs, right? And today's chat is really about understanding scent work, and also we're going to talk about a workshop coming up very soon. But, you know, this chat today is pretty, very beginner, you know, introduction type chat. So, you know, if someone's considering, obviously, you know, there are trainers popping up around Australia in particular, and, you know, there's certainly affiliated trainers and non-affiliated trainers, depending on what organisation you're with. So it leads me to equipment, and that's one of the things that I love about it. Equipment, can you talk about what someone would need to have to get started?
Yeah, not much, which is really good. You don't have to go and buy, you know, fancy equipment. It's a sport that you can do at home. In terms of the equipment that the dog would need, a flat collar or a harness, and it's totally dependent on what the handler and the dog prefer. And what they would need to actually do the sport is some odor, which is cheap as, and some boxes to start with, really. That's pretty much it. The main thing I say to all my students is you just take the opportunity to train when you can. So, you know, drive around and you go, oh, there's a picnic area, stop and chuck some odor out and search, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not a set environment, it's not a set lot of equipment. We just search wherever, which is fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you've got a collar on your dog, a leash on your dog, you know, buying a potential scent kit is going to cost you anywhere from $10 to $50, depending on what kit and where you go, including postage, right? No. that's what the beauty of this, and you can train in, you know, start training at home easily, and then, you know, your garage, backyard, etc. I'm not going to touch on like scent theory and all that sort of. We're not going to get into that sort of stuff today because, you know, I believe it's a subject that can go on and on and on.
Definitely.
So, like I said, I just wanted to get you on, have a chat in particular, which is going to lead up to, you know, I'm super excited to have you come up here to Toowoomba, and I wanted to, you know, go over just a few bits and pieces about what people potentially can expect and how the seminar will run and things like that, if that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've locked in 15th of January here at Toowoomba Showgrounds for you to come up. Currently, registrations are still open. Almost all the working dog spots are almost full. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, please get in touch. We're almost full in regards to the working dog spots, but we definitely have spectator or order spots available. So, yeah, did you want to – I'll throw it over to you and, you know, have a bit of a brief rundown on – obviously we're going to cover off some practical and or some theory, but give us a bit of a rundown on what you're thinking.
Yeah, so being that it's quite new in your area, it will be, you know, based around that foundation stage. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to say it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, even if you've been doing it for years, it's one of those workshops that will be good to go back to basics and not forget your foundation stuff, because a lot of people that, even if they've been trialing for 5 years, will forget to, you know, go back to basics. So we'll be giving those new guys a bit of a kickstart with their training, introducing them to the sport of canine nose work and maybe a slightly different methodology that they've seen so far. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, taking them through, you know, how to get started, where to go from there and stuff, lots of stuff that they can be practicing at home in between class and things like that as well.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the other thing is this is going to be a new environment, you know. So, you know, obviously getting your dog up and, you know, working in, as we know, that sometimes it's a little bit hard to train in different environments. So it'll be an opportunity to bring your dog out and actually give them a run in a new environment as well. So,
absolutely. There's no amount of environments you could ever do that would be enough. So the more you can do, the better.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm really looking forward to it. So we're going to cover off on a bit of theory and then we're going to do some practical.
Definitely, yeah. So a bit of theory in terms of what you're kind of looking to your dog, the changes in behaviour that you're watching for, how to motivate the dog, how to complete a search, whether it be an interior, exterior, container, vehicle, and then, yeah, jump into some practical and get the dogs working and help out the handlers a bit.
Yeah, awesome. So in regards to, that's what some people, because it's such a new sport, how we sort of conduct class or how we, you know, the practical element, you know, and people go, oh, it's a group, you know, like for instance, we're running a scent work class. We must all just do, you know, go out at once. So do you want to just explain a little bit about how the process work? And we highly recommend crates and things like that. But do you want to just explain how it's different to an obedience class or a flyball or agility class that you might go to?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we mentioned before, it's kind of one of those sports that's available to every dog. So obviously some dogs could be reactive. They might be shy around people or other dogs. So to be give the dog the best possible start to the sport and also be fair across the board, it's one dog at a time. So dogs are either crated or left in cars, weather permitting, as long as they're comfortable, of course. And it's one dog coming out at a time, doing the exercises, getting the feedback from the instructor, and then going back in their crate and, you know, coming out 10, 15 minutes later, doing it all again. So, yeah, we've just found it works better that way, not having that line of sight or having, you know, dogs barking right next to, you know, where a dog's trying to concentrate on searching or learning a new skill. So, yeah, it just makes it fair for everyone.
That's, you know, some people don't quite, you know, don't understand that at first, but, you know, and we'll obviously the number and while one dog's working, you know, this next person will go dog, you know, toileting. So the practical dog just flow nice and quickly, you know.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they can easily turn into night very quickly.
Definitely with the amount I talk as well.
Yeah, that's all good. I sometimes do that. I keep on saying to myself, let's chat more work, all right? Let's chat more work. So that's sort of how it will flow. Obviously, here in Toowoomba, we're hoping for weather to be suitable, you know, but obviously weather can have a big impact on the dogs, both positive and negative, yeah? So we're hoping it's certainly not going to be too hot. And people just want to touch on it, you know, like people don't realise sometimes that a new sport, so air conditioners, fans and things like that can certainly mess with our odour, yeah?
Absolutely. That's one of the big reasons why we have to take a bit of a break over the summer. Our venues get quite hot, mm-hmm. and especially when you're trying to run an intro class, you can't have fans and things going because it just makes it a little bit tough for those beginner dogs. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that more advanced students don't go and set up things like that, which is pretty cool. But yeah, to start with, definitely you kind of want that perfect condition, which I know it's hard to get. But yeah, even if it is a little bit warm, we just do more runs but quicker so mm-hmm. that dogs are getting plenty of breaks in between and make sure they're well looked after.
And just on the practical side of things, I know that people get an opportunity who has applied for the, the dogs that we selected for the practical element, but sometimes it varies on the time that the dog is on the floor, Some dogs will be quicker, some dogs will be a little bit shorter, depending on where we're at with our training. Would you agree?
100%. And it's quite interesting when you watch that in like a class scenario. So sometimes I'll set up a hide to give the dog like an easy win because we might have just done a really particular hard hide or something like that. And the person will go, oh, that was a bit quick. And they'll like, seem like it's disappointing. And it's like, well, that's really good for your dog to have those types of experiences because it keeps them highly motivated. And then, you go and put them back in their crate and then 10 minutes later you get them out again and they're super psyched for it. And they're like, hell yeah, let's just keep going. Whereas if it's constantly like, let's just stay out for half an hour, by the end of it, the dog's shattered and they're like, yeah, I don't want to do that no more. So yeah, short little runs are way better.
Yeah, no, look, I agree 100%. Most people that attend obviously will get this podcast link. So I just wanted to make it clear that, some dogs, depending on where they're at and what we're looking for, will have a different variation in time limit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's good also because for the auditors that are kind of watching, you can see the different dogs working and a certain dog might relate to them or a particular situation that they can, work with their dog. But it's one of those sports where you get a crappy answer sometimes where someone will say something and I'll have to say, it depends, because it really does. And it's dog dependent, it's handler dependent. So I could give this whole big spiel to the one person and then the next person comes out and I tell them to do something completely different because I have a different dog in a different situation. So it's really great to be able to sit back and watch all of these dogs so that you can pick and choose the stuff that's going to work for you with your personal dog.
For sure. And then once again, we're dialing it back to basics. We want to give every attendee a good understanding of the sport. Obviously, go away from the day knowing where they progress on their own or obviously with assistance from myself or yourself, We want to just give a good foundation platform. So, yeah, if they were to buy a kit and walk away and go, cool, tomorrow or Monday we can do this and this, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's one of those things you can do at home and you don't need to find hours and hours. Like sometimes I'll train for literally 5 minutes. I just put a couple of hides out and done, that's it for the day. So, yeah, that's what I really like about it.
Awesome. I forgot to ask you, and I didn't give you this question before, will we have kits available for sale on the day?
I can make sure I do. Yes, that is possible.
Mm-hmm. No, just in case, obviously, with people coming along going, this is awesome, loved it. Where do I get my scent? Obviously, we've got preferred suppliers, but it's always fantastic for them, to walk away with a day so before they can start tomorrow. So I know we haven't really talked about it, whether we will have them for sale. Certainly, if you're keen, you can actually stock up the van and bring them along.
yeah, absolutely.
For sure. All righty. So is anything else that you'd like to add in regards to either, the workshop or canine nose works or scent work in particular? Today, like I said, it's a good casual chat about, yourself, what we're planning. Look, I'm certainly hoping that the region that I'm in, picks the ball up and runs with it. And obviously my classes can go further and further and we can start doing some ORT and a number of other things next year, obviously weather and numbers permitting. So I'm super excited. Inquiries are coming in all the time by email, which is, really, really cool. But is there anything else that you'd like to, have a chat about in general?
I think maybe if you're on the fence, just give it a go. Like it is honestly one of those things where once you kind of do it once, you're hooked. It is so much fun. It's not stressful. Yeah, you get to meet some really cool people and it's turning into be an awesome community where everyone's really supportive of each other and the dogs, which is awesome, which I really, really like. But yeah, come along, give it a go. If you're not able to make it to the workshop, seek out someone in your area that's doing some scent work or nose work and, join a class.
Look, Becky, thank you very much for, finding the time to jump on today. Really appreciate it. as I said, I'm super excited. Inquiries coming all over the place since I announced that I was going to fire up classes again. And I just thought it was a fantastic opportunity to, you know, get yourself up. Obviously, you're a, you know, certified judge as well and things like that. So certainly exciting times, potentially 2022 for and on Noseworks in particular, and I suppose in my region, but also around Queensland and hopefully COVID permitting, Australia-wide, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, now that the world's starting to open back up a bit, I'll definitely be travelling to New South Wales to do some trials. So, yeah, that should be good.
Definitely. So I know that for the particular workshop, bookings are coming through Dog Deadlift, myself here. But if anyone wants to, reach out to you, how would they go about finding you, either through your business website or socials?
Yeah, so our website is ultimatecanine.com.au. You can definitely contact me through there. We've got Facebook and Instagram as well. And I've got video review on offer as well. So if you're in like a remote area or you don't have access to trainers and things like that, you're always welcome to get in contact and we can do a bit of video review over Zoom and help you with some kinks in your training.
Something that's what I was actually going to suggest, you know, that if they, you know, I heard you mention about the other day, you know, having an online option for people, especially with obviously, you know, travel restrictions and super easy to buy yourself a kit on, you know, a send kit online and connect with yourself for, you know, for training. So if you're out there and, you know, even if you wanted to connect with Becky before the workshop, you know, via start getting your foundation training done and then come along and pick our brains. So that'd be either way. Super excited to have you. Anyone, you know, like I said, I've got a few available spots in regards to spectator/auditors and only a handful of working dog positions right now. So super excited for that. I'll probably tell you 10 times that I'm super excited, right? But all good. So thank you very much, Becky, and talk to you soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.